Welcome back, everybody, to another day of trading on the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ, John, Travis, back again to use DynastyTradeCalculator.com and all of its calculating and rankings goodness to help you evaluate some players, make some trades, and do all the fun stuff that Dynasty Fantasy Football has in store for you. And I didn't write down who is doing what today, so I'm pretty sure someone has a quarterback. So let's just go straight to it. Who is it?
It's Travis here with the quarterback that we should be talking about right now. Coming off the NFL Combine, he's the quarterback that everyone's been talking about, and that is J.J. McCarthy, national champion J.J. McCarthy. Sorry for Washington fans listening in. But yeah, national champion J.J. McCarthy had a good combine. I was actually up in Indianapolis. It was a little bit weird watching him throw right before Joe Milton, though, because Joe Milton has like an actual cannon attached to his arm.
Literally, yes.
So there's this, you know, this projected rising star, like rising first round pick that's more and more getting mocked inside the early first round of the NFL draft in J.J. McCarthy. But, you know, he's throwing like, 45, 50 yard deep bombs. And then the next guy up literally throws a 73 and a half yard pass
backwards.
It's unreal. Doubt. And so it's so odd because like Milton's not supposed to be that early pick, but he's throwing it 20 yards further than the guy before and after him at the combine. It just looked kind of goofy. But J.J. McCarthy, over the past several weeks, according to all mock draft data, has gone from fringe first round pick to, hey, he's probably going to be at the latest going to the Denver Broncos, given the latest news out of Russell Wilson, being gone. And even before that, he was, the odds on favorite to be the Vikings selection. It's just odd to me that we're so bullish on this guy. I like him a lot, but I wanted to gauge your value of J.J. McCarthy. And given the trajectory of his implied value for Dynasty League purposes, where you guys would kind of rank him right now with rookie picks, because for a long time we've kind of talked about this cutoff being maybe pick 7 or so. But right now, Dynasty Trade Calculator has rookies now on the calculator.
Yes.
And J.J. McCarthy slots in almost identically valued to the 1.06, the sixth pick off the board in rookie drafts. So without going down the whole list for me, I'm curious if you guys would prefer, just straight up in a real league, you're going to have, it's not an either or thing. Like you're going to be able to use this pick on the player, but 1.06 J.J. McCarthy, which one is the most valuable?
I want the one. The
pick is always more valuable than the player, and especially a pick that might be a little earlier than a lot of people might take him. Like there's going to be the quote-unquote in-the-know people that know that McCarthy is this late riser after the combine, and it's because of the not great situation quarterback is right now across the league. That might be an artificial bump for him a little bit, so you might get enough people, like Marvin Harrison Jr. still going to be above him, Malik Nabers most likely still above him. A lot of people have Odunze in the same tier as those other two. I'm not there yet, but regardless, John has Brock Bowers most likely above him as well. And there's going to be a lot of people who are not, afraid of Kyle Pitts 2.0, which Bowers isn't, but that's not even really the point. It's just what's in our heads.
Yeah.
So like you said, like there's going to be some people who are like, oh, this quarterback in a super flex league was drafted in the NFL top 10, top 15. He belongs in that top tier with the other quarterbacks. And then there's going to be another group of people that are like, well, I mean, Zach Wilson and Mac Jones were also drafted in the top 10, 15 in the NFL.
Recently.
And we did not care. And we still drafted them at the end of the first. It would take something special, I believe, if McCarthy gets drafted that early in the NFL for him to slip past the 108, to be after that, three quarterbacks, three wide receivers, and
maybe Bowers.
For him to, it would be crazy at this point for like Xavier Worthy or no running back has pushed himself up there.
Would it be crazy for Xavier Worthy given that the hype coming off of his record breaking performance?
But the thing is, honestly, I think the record is going to hurt him more than it helps him with fantasy managers for the pure reason of everyone's just going to say, well, look what happened to the last dude that broke the record. Right. John Ross just wasn't that good. That's
because people don't understand like how statistical analysis works.
Like, yeah, but we're not all that kind of person. But I'll take the 106 over McCarthy because choice, and choice is always more valuable. But
sure.
In a majority of leagues, I can see him going around the 106, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But right now, the pick is worth more than the player.
Okay, John, you always value quarterbacks quite a bit in all your leagues, it seems. When we've been, co-managers of a roster, you want quarterback value over a lot of things. So, given that it's probably Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May, and then the three wide receivers. I don't know, is six, I mean, you said you prefer the pick, but is the 1.08 or even a little bit higher for you? Does that make sense for McCarthy given where things are trending?
I think he jumps into the discussion for me at the 108 now. The reason that I love that he's the 106 is because now with the 108, I'm like, yes, maybe I can get Bowers. Maybe I can get Adonze. I would much rather have them over J.J. McCarthy, even though he is a quarterback. I was really hoping there would be a running back that would do something at the combine and also jump up.
Trey Benson might be that dude. Trey Benson.
Yeah. We're pushing him to the 112. He's not making it up to the 108.
Yeah. I really wanted somebody to just jump into that top six, somebody, a running back.
Yeah.
Push down. Give me a little bit more options. But yeah, I don't think we're going to get there at all with running back. We did get there with quarterback. A lot of where I will take him at JJ McCarthy at will end up, where is he at? Where does he go? What team is he actually playing for? He's not like Caleb Williams. I mean,
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. I don't care what team he goes to. It's going to be the Bears. Like, but I don't care. JJ McCarthy, he goes to Washington, something like that. I mean, who knows what scenarios can play out, but.
Mentioned it before, but like the Vikings.
If he goes to the Vikings,
Denver seem to be the two teams.
Vikings, though.
If he truly does go to the Vikings, I'm at that point, then like the 108, I'm going to be real interested. I'm not going to be disappointed if somebody takes him out from under me and I have to settle for Adunze or Bowers at the 108. Not going to be disappointed at all. But if he goes to a place like the Vikings and he's there at 108, I'm probably going to be like, well, he's a quarterback. I'm going to go ahead and take the chance because I don't think anybody else has really truly elevated themselves into that spot. So, if he gets that good landing spot in Superflex, I am willing to say I'm taking the risk. And maybe it turns into Zach Wilson or Mac Jones. That happens, but it's quarterback. You have to take more risks. So I am more likely to take quarterback than others.
There's probably like an equal risk between taking McCarthy at the 108 versus that tier of wide receiver.
Yeah.
Right. But like, again, McCarthy and the Vikings, I don't have a lot of 108s. I'll end up trading in for one or two 108s just in case, right? Like the quarterback for Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, like they don't have to be great. It's wonderful if they are. But if they're good enough, they're going to get fantasy points based on the players they're throwing to.
So, and I know a lot of people say that like talent overcomes landing spot, but look, if you're bad in your rookie contract, the NFL moves on now. Like,
it's wonderful. I love that we've gotten to the point where we don't have to live with bad players just because they're under contract.
Yeah, you can't overcome a bad situation. If you're really, really good and you elevate the situation, that's one thing. If you're not that talented and you go to a not that great of a spot, your career is probably just not going anywhere. I mean, and your dynasty value is certainly not going anywhere. Zach Wilson's the premier example of he wasn't expected to be as all that great. He went to a bad spot. And he washed out pretty quickly. Like,
yeah,
he's not going
to
go get
It's funny that like you say he wasn't expected to be that great, and he was like the second overall pick. It's like we looked through things such a unique lens in fantasy football. But like at the same time, as a community, we generally get those moves more right, it feels like.
Yeah. because we are going for that immediate impact. Yeah. Even in Dynasty, we're going to get these fantasy points like right now or maybe next year. Like, not a lot of people are going to wait around for Jordan Love, who ended up being looks like he's going to be good.
Yeah,
but like nobody wanted to wait. So I mean, no,
you nobody want to wait 3.5 years and really 4 years for his value to kind of peak. You know, and so yeah, that's I get it, but I'm just curious because back on track. It's just he's been so. And I think it's going to be polarizing because people are going to push for like, oh, there's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks off the board. That's never happened. You know, like there's never even been 4 quarterbacks in the top 9 picks. The only time that there were 4 in the top 10 picks, the 4th one was Josh Rosen, I think. And that didn't exactly go well. And so it's just, there's not many years where it makes any sense for that to be in the mix. And I just think that 4th team in the NFL, you know, there's a lot of just speculation as to like, oh, somebody's just got to go get their guy. And I'm not sure that McCarthy is like that level of prospect that we just have to reach up and have to, you know, screw ourselves over in cap and future capital situation even more so than we are if I'm the Broncos, or, you know, screw ourselves over just moving up and handicapping ourselves in other ways from the, you know, Vikings. And so I don't see there being like 4 top 10 picks, but if he goes 11th to the Vikings, that is interesting. But the players I wanted to compare him to are at his same position. I think we've talked about some of these guys here recently, but they are going to be continually the most polarizing players at the position for, I don't know, months to come. And so I wanted to kind of get your
Lawrence Tua.
if McCarthy's in that range, I don't know what we're, that's just not, he's not up there.
Like polarizing quarterbacks that we talk about a lot, it feels like.
yeah, but he's not anywhere near that tier, I don't think, for many people.
That's good.
However, I do want to mention one name just because it's probably going to be at the top of all of our tiers, obviously, but I just want to throw it out there just to see where we are. But there's two. Actually, I'll just say his name first. So Brock Purdy, and then Justin Fields. And then, of course, J.J. McCarthy. And then Will Levis and Bryce Young. So Brock Purdy, Justin Fields, Will Levis, Bryce Young, and J.J. McCarthy. 5 quarterbacks. Values do kind of stretch on the calculator quite a bit. But I know that the range, the band for guys like Purdy and Fields, and really all of these guys are kind of all over the place.
All right, I'm ready. That was easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Okay.
I have Brock Purdy first.
Okay. That's kind of who, I thought that would be the case.
Yeah. You know, he's their quarterback. It's fine. I don't think he's going to be QB6 very often. You know, like he had a very good year. I don't know how long that lasts, but he will be a very solid low end QB1, high end QB2, probably. And that's fine. That's great. I have Justin Fields second because I do believe he's starting somewhere, and I believe he's good enough to keep a starting job at a better franchise, well, better run franchise than Chicago. We'll see where he actually ends up. So I think he'll be fine to start for the next few years, and we've seen that he can give us fantasy points. I have McCarthy third, and I'll skip him for a second. I have Young fourth. Talent-wise, I much prefer Bryce Young, but we have a year of seeing him not do good in a year where CJ Stroud came in and crushed it. And while those two things should not at all be related, they unfortunately are. And the Carolina is not in a good position to make their team that much better. Like if they had good cap space and a lot of draft capital this year, Young would probably be 2, but they're not, which means Young might not have another good year, another year of not being good. But I do believe in the player. I believe in the talent. So that helps me put him above Levis, who was last, who I never had faith in to begin with. And with a new upfront, a new offense, we have no idea if this dude's job is even super safe. And that's why I put McCarthy in the middle, because he's new, he's shiny. He might end up in in Minnesota, which will boost his value on its own. And it just, it's bright, shiny new as opposed to new, but has a little tarnish on it like Bryce Young does, which is why I put McCarthy above Young. But Levis is a very far last in this for me.
Yeah, Levis was the easiest one for me to rank. Yes. Yep. Last. Oh, and with a hard line above him for a nice tier break. I put Fields first, but there's a caveat. Fields and Purdy are in the same tier here for me. Yeah. If I am going for my quarterback one, it's Fields.
I like that.
If I'm going for my super flex spot, I want Purdy. Like, I don't mind my QB2 being somebody that I don't think has as high of an upside as I think Fields has the higher upside. So if I'm looking for my number one starting quarterback on my fantasy super flex roster in Dynasty, I want Fields. I will take that gamble because I think he offers a point ceiling that's just higher than Purdy's. When I look for my QB2, then I kind of want somebody a little bit safer because oftentimes I do take a little bit more of a gamble on my QB1 because I want that high upside QB1. And my QB2, I'm very, very satisfied to have Brock Purdy. Like, so it depends on what my other quarterback is, really, on how I would rank those two. I wrote Fields first because I'm still a Justin Fields fan. So Fields and Purdy, they're easily a tier above the rest of everybody. I have Bryce Young third only because I know where he is right now. I think that probably changes. Like if JJ McCarthy goes to the Vikings, that's easily McCarthy above Bryce Young for me then. But with not knowing exactly where he's going to end up, I don't want to put him above Bryce Young. Not that I like Bryce Young's situation all that much, but I do believe a lot of players can learn from their first year. So the disadvantage to having Bryce Young above him is Bryce Young's value can go to zero faster than JJ McCarthy's value can go to zero. At this point, like JJ McCarthy, even if he comes in and has a bad year, his value next year will be where Bryce Young's is right now. So like you get one more year.
Are we sure?
Probably not. Like, I don't know. It depends on where he gets drafted.
Cause like in terms of like tier of prospect, I think sometimes I'm guilty of this too, but like forgetting quickly how much hype was on Young and like him being the number one overall prospect. And in no world is McCarthy that level of prospect, you know? And so in no world is he even like the second off the board or probably not even the third. I know somebody will, you know, I actually saw somebody have him third off the board just for clicks this week. You know, because it was somebody who writes a new mock every week and you got to mix it up. I get it, but that's not reality. And so like, if we're talking about the quarterback four off the board, if they have a bad year, if they show up and just completely tank it, I feel like they might be below Young. Like,
I don't know how, I mean, how quickly did Mac Jones a long time to get to zero, but he was never bad, bad. He was always okay for a while. Well, not always. He was okay for a while. Pickett's value dropped pretty quickly. Zach Wilson's value dropped pretty quickly, but I don't know that it was completely gone after 1 year, was it?
He was still a late first after 1 year, no matter how bad it was. Like you were still able to get a late first. Then it started to slide into maybe 2 seconds, but there was time where it didn't completely crash.
Yeah.
And like at this point, Bryce Young started at a higher bar, so it had more to fall. But I still
Rosen's value, Bryce Young is, value plummeted.
We talked about him a few weeks ago, and it was like the 109-ish, I think, right? So it's still there. And now that we have this class, I'd be very curious to see Bryce Young trades during the rookie draft to see where he would slot in. Because again, I put McCarthy above him because I think that's what the community will think. Personally, I would rather have Bryce Young as a player.
See, I just went with what I personally would want. Because that's okay.
That's fair.
That's I why think people I would, listen to Russ.
I think I kind of assumed that Brock Purdy. I loved your answer and kind of the balance between what you're looking for, John. But I think I was leaning towards like, okay, kind of Purdy's like on an island just because of the safety and where his role and his, you know, just where he is with the organization versus Justin Fields. Like, I mean, it was the rumor, and I don't know what circulated everywhere outside of Indianapolis. I didn't pay attention to a bunch of Twitter like while I was there, but it was basically like, okay, the Fields to the Falcons deal is basically done. And that's the assumption. We're just kind of waiting on that to kind of go through. And so if that is true, then that's a pretty awesome situation for Fields. And I could see him rising up above Purdy. But, you know, it just seemed like Purdy was kind of his own tier for me, just given the safety and kind of understanding where he is. Then Fields, and then I actually still have Bryce Young. And then it's not to say that I don't have confidence that McCarthy could work out. He just hasn't, he doesn't have the resume that a lot of these guys have and doesn't necessarily have a complete first round projection, you know, normal early first profile like some quarterbacks typically do. So he's 4, and then Will Levis is 5 because, well, I mean, it wasn't a good prospect to begin with. Yeah, he came in with, minimum thresholds you want to see to kind of maybe hit. And he's not in a good place to actually do it. So, yeah, that's all I got on the quarterbacks.
John,
I have wide receiver. Okay. Yep. No running back today, huh? So we have a good show today.
It's March. We don't need that.
Brand new contract for Mike Evans.
Yay.
Do you know what Mike Evans' value? What do you think it took to get Mike Evans a year ago in a dynasty trade? Take a shot.
It's probably an early second.
What do you think it took 2 years ago to get Mike Evans in a dynasty league?
Definitely a first.
Probably late first.
2 years ago. I mean, like 2 years ago. I mean, people think he's like real old. Like he wasn't real old, you know, just even like, you know.
People just don't want him to be valuable for some reason. It makes no sense.
It's been really weird, like forever. Like he's been a discount wide receiver and he's a Hall of Famer. Like,
yep.
Yeah. Oh, he's easily a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I guess. 10,000 plus yard receiving seasons in a row. He's like going to finish top 10 in receiving touchdowns all time. In fact, he might actually be there now.
Like he's boring because of how good and consistent he is. What I really would like to do is identify who the next Mike Evans is. Like, who can I get for a late first now that will be a late first next year, late first year after, early
They're
second?
Probably in this class, actually. So
DK Metcalf.
No. I'm talking about a veteran that's already getting like that old person. Oh, DK Metcalf's probably a good one. But that's not where I'm going.
That's the answer.
As I started research, as I wanted to bring Mike Evans, I started thinking about that, and I was like, God, there's like, this is why I buy old wide receivers. This is why I buy them and just ride them out to the end, because they keep really good ones keep being productive. They don't get younger, but they keep being productive. And I think people really do just. They discount wide receiver faster than they should.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
I am the major ageist. Like running back is 22. They're old. You know, you already missed your peak selling window. Like that's me. I get that.
Oh man.
Tight ends, quarterbacks, they last a little bit longer. Wide receivers though. I think I just need to go get a full roster of 27 and 28-year-old wide receivers.
You could do it.
Seriously, you could do great. If you just like, if they're 29 or older, actually, there's a bunch of guys. I was digging through this when Mike Evans got resigned, just real quick. There are only 4 wide receivers in the top 250 for their career, like all-time receiving yards, that are under the age of 30, now that Tyreek turned 30 a few days ago. And so the whole list, it's Chris Godwin, oh man, it's a really freaking short list. I can't remember. It was just like, 1 second.
I almost brought Chris Godwin because
Chris Godwin, DJ Moore, AJ Brown, and Justin Jefferson. Everyone else who has been continually producing and just flying up the record boards, like they're the guys that you know people won't even touch now, like the Amari Coopers, like the Tyler Lockett's because he's apparently done. The Brandon Cooks actually has constantly just produced at least to some kind of level, and he's way up there on the list. And like Tyreek Hill, Keenan Allen, Davante Adams, Mike Evans, all these guys that you can actually have kind of cheaper now, you're probably going to do enough to maybe win you the league this year. So,
yeah, I'm still in buy Mike Evans mode. Yep. He does come in on the calculator at the 201.
Oh,
plus
oh
a fourth, and that puts you over. So the 201 is worth 201 is 10.8. Mike Evans is 11.1, so he's slightly more valuable. But putting that first, boom, goes to like 13. So I went with what's the lowest value thing I can add to the 201, and that happens to be 1 point in value of the 2024 mid fourth. So basically the 201. Yeah, totally the deal breaker. So Mike Evans or the 201?
That's still the 201. Just especially in this class. Like, what, again, we're talking about what he's worth to your roster versus what his dynasty value are. So I can almost guarantee that you do not have to pay the 201 to get Mike Evans from a team that is no longer competing, because if a team is competing, they're probably not trading away Mike Evans. But a team that is not competing, like, you're probably in the 204 to 206 range.
Which is an absolute steal.
Which I would absolutely do. But the 201 and 202 still have that, it's kind of a first rounder, but it's clearly worth less. So, I'm taking the 201 over Mike Evans, though I completely understand that once the season rolls around, I would probably most likely rather have Mike Evans on my roster than whoever I would draft at that pick, assuming I actually drafted it. But I think... the player. I think the pick is worth more. The 201 is worth more than Mike Evans.
Travis?
I think I just barely lean Mike Evans. And I think if we talk through all the wide receivers that are going to be going in the NFL draft that I might want instead, I think like if we get to the like right that at that tipping point at 2.01, and I'd go with Evans because but let's just say there's four quarterbacks. Let's just throw McCarthy in there. Then you got the three wide receivers we already mentioned in Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze. So we're at 7. Brock Bowers is 8. And then probably Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, especially after the combine performance he had. He probably comes off the board as the 4 for most people. So we're at 9. And then maybe A.D. Mitchell because he was an absolute size speed freak. 10.
Do you have Worthy in there yet?
Worthy 11 because he was 4-2-1 and I have it on pretty good authority that he's not going to make it out of the top 20 on NFL draft day. And so, but beyond that, like there's not a bunch of wide receivers necessarily that I would want. Maybe Troy Franklin, but he's really undersized and limited route tree and things like that. Has an immaculate production profile. Really like him, but I think I'd probably you go very much farther and, you know, maybe Trey Benson gets thrown in there as the running back 1 because he was like picked in the 40s or something like that. Let's say the Vikings pick him up because they just, you know, are getting rid of Alexander Mattison, whatever it is. Maybe I take him over. But I think that's probably fair value, but I think I give the edge just barely to Mike Evans.
Yeah, I mean, I want Evans. I think your point on maybe the running back 1, that is like the one little – part where I consider the pick might be the more valued option because a lot of people are going to want that running back. If you go your entire first round of your rookie draft and there's not a running back selected, there is going to be somebody in your league that says, I want to get the best rookie running back. And they can do that at the 201. So maybe they overpay a little bit for that pick. And maybe they treat it like Russ thinks. It's another first round pick. I don't think that way. I'm probably not going to use the 201 on a running back. I don't care if it's the first running back. I would rather use it on Mike Evans because the wide receivers that are around there, you're going to be looking at Keon Coleman, Ladd McConkey, like you said, Troy Franklin, maybe. I think I'm going to get more out of Mike Evans this year and next year than either of those other wide receivers.
Probably any of them. Yeah, realistically.
Maybe one of them does hit. But if there's three rookies that I'm kind of taking a shot, I've got 1 in 3 shot versus what I know I'm going to get from Evans. I'm just going to take what I get from Evans. There's probably a good chance I can trade him at any point in the year for a 2025 second. Like, if something goes wrong with my team, it doesn't go the way that I think it's going to go, and I need to get out. Mike Evans is easy to get a 2025 second for to any contender. yeah, you're going to be switching from the 201 to, you know, maybe you're looking at the 208 next year, 209, something there. Big deal. Like you try, I tried. That was my cost of doing business. I can probably trade Mike Evans if one of these other wide receivers ends up on a contender and my team's not a contender. I can probably one for one swap that and still have that, you know, get the same end result. But I took the chance on having Mike Evans and having him make my team a winning team, which is what I really want. So,
yeah, I mean, we want to score points and win. Like, it's cool to have the value, but in the end, once we start scoring points, I think it's going to become clear that Evans is the choice, well, at least for myself. So,
all right. Yeah, so we've got a list. We've got a list of Mike Evans, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, and Davante Adams. So we're looking at kind of the same, let's say, career stage for all of these wide receivers. None of them are spring chickens, so they're not going to be around for too much longer, but none of them are probably facing their final year. I think we get at least a year or two, probably more, out of all of them. How do you guys rank Mike Evans, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, and Davante Adams?
This was actually really easy. I have Davante Adams 1 because he is just that talented that I don't care how old he is. I don't even really care who his quarterback is. If he might not even be what on if the his
quarterback is Aiden O'Connell.
But there's also talks of Aaron Rodgers trying to get him over to the Jets. But like, I don't care because he's Davante Adams and he's that good. Of course, like I said before, it's better if you have a good quarterback, but I don't think I care with Davante Adams. But we also don't know who Mike Evans' quarterback is either, who is my number two. It would be weird if they didn't re-sign Baker, but
yeah,
who knows?
That's the buzz that's probably.
I mean, it would be a bad decision if they didn't.
Yeah, like, but I'll never assume rational GMing or coaching in the NFL. So whatever, man. But Evans is still my two because, again, he's that good. We've seen it doesn't matter who his quarterback is. It matters more about the offense they run. Like Byron Leftwich's offense was not for Mike Evans, but then they changed it and all of a sudden Evans is really, really good again, even though he was still very good. I put McLaurin 3rd and Kirk 4th, and it's really because I have more faith in McLaurin and in the commander situation for McLaurin to be the first target on their team. And while Kirk will always be part of that offense, they're going to bring in a wide receiver to be the top target.
And Evan Engram might actually be a greater target than Kirk.
No, just don't talk about him. but they brought in Calvin Ridley, who they're not going to keep because it'll cost them a higher rounded draft pick if they keep him, which is unfortunate because I wanted to hang up that jersey. But like, I still think they bring in someone else. And while Kirk, again, will be part of that offense, he'll be the second or third target, depending on he who should not be named just yet, falls into that. So that's why he's 4th, but I do really like Christian Kirk. But I'll take the bet on McLaurin, as good of a route runner as he is and as smart of a wide receiver as he is, being able to earn more targets on his team. Again, also not knowing who his quarterback is either. Now that we mentioned it. So yeah, we know who one of these quarterbacks are, and I put that guy last.
Okay. Wow.
Travis?
I lean Evans 1st, and Adams close 2nd. It's more like a 1A, 1B scenario because they're both elite talents. In fact, their career stats are really close to each other. I think they're one touchdown apart, like less than 1,000 yards apart, like all time. Both going to be top 25 wide receivers all time in production when they hang it up. And they're both probably going to produce for at least one or two more years here. Evans has the contract kind of set up to do so for sure. Adams, I think, has at least one more guaranteed kind of deal. And so Adams is a little bit older, but it doesn't really matter at this point. So, yeah, they're really close. McLaurin, like you said, he's probably the first target in that offense still moving forward, regardless of who the quarterback is in that system. I do think that they actually kind of run the ball a little bit more. And I did have a chance to meet with Dan Quinn at the combine, and he was everything he was talking about. It was downplaying actually the quarterback and more like leaning into, just making sure they have the trenches right and, kind of dominating physically and things like that. It made him sound like they weren't going to, be airing it out a lot unless they have to. But yeah, I think Christian Kirk goes last because he's third target behind whoever they bring in and Ingram most likely.
I have the exact same list as Russ.
Whee!
I don't really have a good argument for Adams over Evans other than I've always liked Adams more than Evans. But I like them both. And this is, like I said, this
after
is
after year three.
I mean, okay, fine. Adams was very, very bad. Adams rookie year. That never actually had. That was a long time ago. All right. So,
that was 10 years ago.
That was what?
10 years, 2014.
Oh my God. I don't like that at all.
I wasn't ready for that.
I don't like that at all. That wasn't. Oh my God.
That class, though. Right. That class.
That's a good class.
We thought it was going to be the greatest. It's probably, it's top five, but it's, it's very good.
Ultimately, if I have like a boatload of second round picks, I am looking to go get like all of these. Like, can I get Evans for the 201, Adams for the 202, McLaurin for maybe like the 206, and Kirk for like the 209, something like that? Like, can I just completely revamp my entire wide receiving core with old guys and a bunch of second round picks?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
I like that idea.
Yeah, I just did that last year in like a campus academy format. I just kind of like pivoted and I got real old on the NFL side and got to the championship just doing that. And it didn't cost me much because people just don't, like you said, they don't value these players because they're like, oh, I don't want them to, die on my roster, whatever. But okay.
So, all right, go buy. We say go buy old wide receivers, folks.
Yeah.
And now's the time to do it, even though you want them. In point scoring season, they're going to cost more the closer you get to the point scoring season. So take advantage of the combine and people running really fast and jumping really high and one dude jumping second furthest in combine history, even though he was a cornerback, I think. So it doesn't really help fans. But like, take advantage of the rookie fever.
By the way, that safety that did that, he doesn't believe in space.
Yes, And then there's one dude that just talking about baby pigeon. Like, birds aren't real because he's never seen a baby pigeon.
Real talk, though.
Birds aren't real.
Quick note on that guy. So there was a group of four people at the combine. I don't know if they're TMZ or whatever they were. Some clickbaity site. They're all asking the most absurd questions, intentionally looking to just make players say silly things. And one guy in particular asked almost everyone if they believed in pigeons. And Tip Ryman, the Illinois tight end, it was more sarcastic than anything.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
The headlines made it seem like this dude believes that pigeons recharge on power lines, but that's not what
That was
like,
hilarious. That was. But also, I love the amount.
That makes me actually like whoever that was even more. If he like totally just fed into it.
Yes.
That's really what mocked them to their face.
The amount of awesome. New York Twitter that quote tweeted that, like, look, I've been in New York my whole life and I've never seen a baby pigeon either. Just saying. Is absolutely true.
That's true. Oh man, it's just he asked everybody that. He even asked like Roma Dunze. He's like, if we were up in a plane, could you pilot us to safety?
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was standing right next to this guy. He rattled off like four or five questions in a row that were just absolutely dumb.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, and so that's terrible in one sense for journalism's sake, but
yeah.
A childish person, I love it.
Man. And he did it every day. It was every position group. He was just asking the most absurd questions. The same guy. And he was so loud.
Did he deliver it with a straight face at least?
Oh, he was like laughing. Like he was like, it didn't even matter. If he was like way back.
That ruins it. You've got to be sincere.
Gotta work on your
straight face. Yeah. Well, he wasn't like laughing, but like he said it with a big goofy grin on his face, and so everyone knew like, okay, dude.
See, I'd be dressed like 1950s reporter with the fedora and the
hat
in my pocket and asking those questions.
Oh man, just straight faced.
Yeah, complete. Like I was
very serious question for you here. Do you believe in pigeons? But no, the Tyler Owens guy out of safety at Texas Tech, he just volunteered. Like he was asked about the pigeons thing or something, and he's like, "But I actually don't believe in space." And he's like, "No, we live in a dome or something like that. It was really our planets." What? It was.
Hey, Truman Show Syndrome is a real thing. I'm just saying.
Dude.
Good movie. Man. All right. What do we give it? Let's get back to actual. Back on track.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
So I tried to squash.
Let's go back to talking about space nothing. Yeah.
I tried to squash my spoiler alerts about the tight end I'm talking about. And the answer is Evan Engram. And this comes because there was some conversation. this is a great conversation in that it is always worth sending trade offers. And it is always, I know John doesn't like trade talks or anything like that, but it's good to recognize how players, people trade more than anything else. We have one guy in one of my leagues that does his own rankings and will trade based on those rankings, regardless of what that means in the real world. Our friend Bob Gilchrist was the benefactor of this when, like, a year and a half ago, he got Kyle Pitts for like a first and a second when he was still worth two firsts plus a little bit. Like, you know, it was just because that dude didn't value Pitts very much. So he sold him at what he thought it was worth and he felt fine about it. So he sent me Evan Engram for my 203 on a team where I kind of rebuilding, but I was just like, this is a tight end premium, 0.75 premium. I'm going to take that and figure out what to do with that later, because that just sounds great. So, yeah. And there was a little bit of mix in the, you know, the thing I love about Discord is we have all of the Trade Addicts leagues in one big general chat and then broken down in the smaller ones. But this made its way into the general chat where just an Evan Engram conversation in general. And the truth is, for a lot of people, he falls into that range of tight ends that don't matter. Like, he's just another face in that tight end 7 through 25, even though he scored as a top five tight end the past 2 years. And like Travis said, might be the number one target for Trevor Lawrence, who is a very good quarterback in what is an offense that has its moments when they gel together very well and it runs very well. Again, weirdly enough, you just need a healthy Zay Jones, and that offense is great. So I was curious where Evan Engram would actually land in DynastyTradeCalculator.com, 12-team Superflex tight end premium. And it was at the 109, which made me feel all that much better about getting him for the 203. So my initial question is, of course, Evan Engram or the 109? And I'm a little happy that this went past the 108, so I don't have to say Evan Engram or Brock Bowers, because I'm pretty sure the answer for everyone on that one is Brock Bowers. Because I love Evan Engram, but I still think the answer is Brock Bowers there, just pure value-wise.
You're asking if I want Brock Bowers or Evan Engram?
No, if you were listening, you would know the question was Evan Engram or the 109.
Oh, sorry. Like, can we get a running back up there? Can we please get a running back?
Probably not.
Well, I mean, my question, like it really
comes down to... I'll take the pick. I'll take the pick.
Yeah,
that second tier of wide receivers at that point, you know, the worthy.
I'm getting the best one of that second tier.
Like, that's
my choice.
I think that we're still going to be looking at a wide receiver like with top 20 capital, probably. Like, yeah, four quarterbacks, three wide receivers, and Bowers, eight picks, nine picks, ninth pick, probably being a top 20 guy. Yeah, I'd probably, yeah.
God, somebody have a really good pro day as a running back, please.
I mean, at this point,
begging for it.
Braylon Allen might actually, if the mock draft data suggests he's more of like a fringe day two, but I talked with him and he's working out in California a lot, prepping for the combine, prepping for footwork, among other things, to just kind of get his athletic testing numbers right, I guess, by the time he's at his pro day. And so he might have posted a really, really silly speed score. And so, if he does, there's hope.
That would be awesome, because then the 109 becomes something I really, really want. So, not because I want the running back, because I'm hoping that squeezing in a running back into that top seven as well pushes somebody from the top seven down to 109. So for that reason, I want the pick.
Yep. The answer, and I love Evan Engram, and he was my second most rostered tight end this past year, because Travis Kelce was still the first. But whenever I didn't feel like paying up for Travis Kelce on my competing teams, the answer was Evan Engram, like every single time. And again, he finished as, I believe, the tight end 4-ish. So it's not as if he let me down at all. So I'm a big fan of the player, but still right now, total points, tight end 4, points per game, tight end 4. Yeah. I still think you'll get more out of the 109 just because options. You'll have more people interested in the pick than you will be in a very specific tight end. So I have two lists. They're both short. One is, I'm curious where Engram lands in this little tight end group and then against other positions. So my first list is Evan Engram, Dalton Kincaid, George Kittle, and David Njoku.
Hmm. Short list of four people, and yet bringing in another list.
Here's my show.
Just saying.
You will do my lists, and you will like it.
Interesting. Cool.
I have no idea how to put this list.
I put Dalton Kincaid last.
I wanted to do that, but then I was like, I think I could probably make an argument if I really had to for him to be first.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kincaid is not last for me, but I almost
did. Kittle's going last for me because I'm just so over him.
I mean, I have my tight end list if your guys are still thinking.
I'm going to go Njoku, Engram, like 1A, 1B. Kittle really not far behind. Big gap, and then Kincaid for me.
I think I go Engram tier of his own, then Njoku, then Kincaid, then Kittle. I think Kittle and Kincaid can give me the same production, so I'm just going to take the age difference, take Kincaid.
That's my list. I have John's list. I put Engram first. Njoku is in the same tier.
Njoku could be less. He was literally on waiver wires in Dynasty Leagues, I think, recently.
A year and a half ago. And it's really... And we've also seen Deshaun Watson like using a tight end. And then, of course, Joe Flacco comes in, who loves using a tight end. So it was a very everything all in a good place for Njoku this past season to produce. But he's value-wise, I think he's worked his way there. But I do just like Engram better. He's produced more. I picked Kincaid third, and it's because of everyone else liking him more. He's good. I never liked the Buffalo landing spot, but everyone loved it. And it took Dawson Knox getting hurt for him to actually produce, which never feels right. You know, we hated Evan Engram regardless of what he did on the Giants because of what it took for him to produce his rookie year. And of course, he sort of helped us feel that way for the next 2 years with what he did not really do on the Giants. But so like Kincaid's fine, but I don't have him on any of my teams. And if I do, it's because I want to trade him away at some point. And I put Kittle fourth because I think he's on his way to being kind of done. Like, it'll help if Ayuk is gone. I know he's on his fifth year option, but who knows if he actually plays for that, because things don't seem great between him and the Niners right now. But Kittle missing more games, having a lot of games where he needs to be uber efficient or you're screwed. Like, we're talking two catches for 6 yards and two touchdowns. Like, that's like I think that's very close to a legit stat line he had, you know? So that's not like he finishes with 20 fantasy points, but you feel gross while watching the game.
Holy cow.
What?
Kittle's value comes in on the calculator at 19.4.
He's up there still.
Yeah, he's way up there still. And I mean, he has still been productive. It's just, I think we were kind of waiting for the cliff. With him, I will say it's been interesting. Last year, I mean, the 49ers kind of whiffed on the first one that they selected, but they actually picked two tight ends in last year's draft. I don't know if you guys remember that. And then this year they've been meeting formally, not just like the informal, like, hey, I met with a Titans coach. But like with formal meetings all throughout last week and at the Senior Bowl with tight end prospects, specifically in both cases at the Senior Bowl and last week with Theo Johnson out of Penn State.
Yeah.
And who just tested like Jimmy Graham last week. So I think they're probably looking for the next kind of thing at the position. I would not be surprised if the 49ers actually pick a tight end way earlier than many people believe in this draft, to kind of be that guy that just passes the baton to from, you know, Kittle to whoever it is, whether that's JT Sanders or that's Theo Johnson or Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State, who tested really well, you know, somebody who's like athletic and feature, you know, tight end, you know, prototype size. I think that they could draft his replacement this year. And so a month or two from now, Kittle's value might be even lower.
Like, when was the last time the Eagles had a need at tight end? I don't even know, because they've always had their next guy. You know, going back to the early 2000s with Brent Celek, you know, and then we needed him to leave so Zach Ertz can finally get his shot. We needed Zach Ertz to leave so Goddard can finally, like, they always seem to have, when they're tight end is almost sort of maybe ready to go, they'll have that next guy on their team already. And yeah, it's worked very well for them, and it's the smart thing to do, especially with Kittle, who does seem to get hurt a decent amount, or their offensive line gets so hurt they need Kittle to block, and then they don't have a receiving tight end. So it would be very smart of them to get a tight end on their roster.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so if that happens, that might change this conversation entirely with him. And with Kincaid, what would change his value is, one, if Knox is back healthy, but two, if the Bills take a first-round wide receiver, which probably eats significantly into the implied market share of a Dalton Kincaid.
But like, Gabe Davis will be gone, so there's so much left at the table to take from that. No.
Wait, who's it?
No. All right. So my next list is, again, four players.
Hold on. I'm talking Evan Engram. Overtime punch here. Okay. Overtime punch.
Put it on your timesheet, John. Evan Engram, Saquon Barkley, Zay Flowers, and Jaden Reed.
Whoa. Say this again.
Evan Engram, Saquon Barkley, Zay Flowers, and Jaden Reed.
Saquon, Flowers, Engram, Reed.
Yeah, actually, that's the exact same order for me. Saquon, Flowers, Engram, Reed. Yeah, that exact same order for me. Yeah. Saquon is a running back, so it's a little weird, but
that is weird.
Okay, never mind. I guess there wasn't a good point to this because I have the same order also. so sorry, I kept you.
Now it was worth it. Now it made me happy.
I was just curious where Engram worked in a lot of players that were of the, they're all very, very close in value on the calculator. And I was curious if the positional advantage of that onesie position mattered all that much, and if the youth at wide receiver would be enough to push over him, but apparently it wasn't. All right. Well, I apologize, everyone, for keeping you those extra 30 seconds. So we will be expeditious in closing down the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ Fisher, Dynasty Outhouse, John Bosch at John Bosch FF, Travis May at FF_Travis M. Ring the bell. We're out of here.